Welcome in to LSU 60 from the LSU Sports Radio Network with the latest news and newsmakers from LSU Athletics. Now, from inside the Capital One studios on the campus of LSU, here is your host, Bill Frankes.
Welcome once again, Tiger fans. This is LSU 60 on a beautiful Sunday evening. Here on the LSU campus, Bill Frankes here with Jeff Palermo. We're in the LSU Sports Radio Network Capital One studio. We're located right next door to Tiger Stadium as the campus was alive last night with LSU's 31-16 victory over Mississippi State, an explosive fourth quarter for LSU. The Tigers trailed 16-10, entering the final period of the game. But LSU outscores Mississippi State 21-0 in that fourth period, and the Tigers win going away 31-16 in the SEC opener for both clubs. LSU now 2-1 overall, 1-0 in the SEC, and a great way for Brian Kelly to get his first win as LSU's coach in a Southeastern Conference game as the Tigers defeat the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Kudos to the LSU defense. Defense did a fantastic job. You remember what happened when Mississippi State came in here 2 years ago. They had a huge day offensively, but not so last night. LSU's defense limited the Bulldogs to only 289 total yards, only 214 yards passing, and 75 yards rushing. LSU also sacked Mississippi State quarterback Will Rogers on four occasions, and they really limited Mississippi State's third and fourth down conversion opportunities. The Bulldogs just 3 of 14 on third downs and only 1 of 4 on fourth downs. That was a huge difference in the game. The LSU defense played on a phenomenal level last night, as did the LSU offense, especially in that fourth quarter when it appeared as if LSU was the stronger, more physical team. It appeared as if Mississippi State had worn down. The Tigers were still playing at a very high level, and LSU took over that fourth quarter and wins it 31-16. So on tonight's show here on LSU 60, we will go through the highlights of the Tigers' win last night over Mississippi State and look forward to this weekend. Tigers back in non-conference action right back here at Tiger Stadium. LSU will play host to the New Mexico Lobos. First ever meeting between LSU and New Mexico in the sport of football. Kickoff on Saturday will be at 6:30 p.m. Later in the show, Jeff Palermo will have a visit with Mike Denbrock. Mike Denbrock, of course, the Tigers' first-year offensive coordinator, did a phenomenal job at the University of Cincinnati in coaching Desmond Ridder, one of the top quarterbacks in the country last year. Denbrock now here at LSU and also doing a great job with that LSU offense. Jaden Daniels really played an outstanding game last night, and there's a lot of balance between the pass and the rush so far in the Tiger offensive attack. So we'll look forward to hearing from Coach Mike Denbrock. Then we'll be joined by Garrett Runyon, head coach of the LSU women's golf team, ranked number 5 in the nation. The Tigers started the 2022 fall season with a victory earlier this week in the Green Wave Classic in New Orleans. Garrett Runyon led LSU last season to its first SEC championship in 30 years. So we'll talk about the great success of the LSU women's golf program and what we have to look forward to in the coming season. We've got all that. We've got an update on SEC football. Look forward to the schedule this week. So stay with us for a lot more to come after this on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Back with more on this week's LSU 60 on the LSU Sports Radio Network. Once again, here is Bill Frankes.
All right, welcome back to LSU 60. Glad to be here with you after a Tiger victory last night, 31-16 over Mississippi State. Before we go through last night's highlights with the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, let's take a look at the Associated Press college football rankings that were released earlier today. LSU is receiving votes in the poll. The Tigers not yet in the top 25, but we hope that's something that will change in the coming weeks. This week, Georgia is number 1, Alabama is number 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, and Clemson 5. Rounding out the top 10, Oklahoma at number 6, Southern Cal 7, Kentucky, the Wildcats, number 8 in the nation, Oklahoma State is number 9, and Arkansas, A future LSU opponent is number 10. Another future LSU opponent, Tennessee, is now number 11 in the poll. And looking down through the rest of the poll for other schools in the SEC, Ole Miss now number 16. The Rebels, like Tennessee and Arkansas and Alabama and Georgia, all undefeated, of course. Also in the poll, Florida, with a record of 2-1, is ranked number 20. And Texas A&M, after defeating Miami last night, also has a record of 2-1, the Aggies at number 23 in the country. So that is the AP college football poll that came out earlier today. Also want to give a shout out to the LSU volleyball and soccer teams. Great weekends for both clubs. LSU soccer earlier today opened SEC play in Nashville. The Tigers defeated Vanderbilt by a final score of 2-1. Coach Sean Hudson and her team now 6-1-2 overall. And I imagine it won't be long before we see LSU soccer in the top 25 as well, as they are off to a great start. And LSU volleyball, Tanya Johnson, new head coach, joined us here on the show last week, and she talked about the attributes of her team, and they had a great weekend. They defeated both Oregon State and Tulane, playing those two clubs over in New Orleans. LSU improving to 6-4 on the year. So congratulations, LSU volleyball and LSU soccer, each with big victories this weekend. Also, the big victory, of course, last night here in Tiger Stadium, LSU over Mississippi State to open SEC football action. Tigers got behind early. Mississippi State led 13-0, but LSU just before halftime put together a fantastic drive. Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, ran tempo, and the Tigers moved 75 yards in 7 plays to get on the scoreboard for the first time. The drive was capped by this TD pass from Daniels to Jeray Jenkins.
Working from the near side hash, shotgun snap, Daniels looking left, fires it. Jenkins has it at the 5, hit initially at the 3, but he wants the end zone. Touchdown, Fighting Tigers. Jeray Jenkins, third touchdown of the year. 8-yard reception, and the Fighting Tigers are on the board.
Brian Kelly said after the game that he thought that was a huge sequence for LSU just to get something on the board after being shut out almost the entire first half, for the offense to get going and make a statement and only be down by 6 at halftime. He felt pretty good at that juncture. Tigers take the possession of the football to start the third quarter, move 69 yards in 9 plays. Damian Ramos caps the drive with a 35-yard field goal. So Mississippi State leads 16-10 with 13-10 with 10:56 remaining in the third quarter. Bulldogs respond with a field goal drive of their own. A 45-yard field goal gives the Bulldogs a 16-10 lead with 6.5 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Then later in the third quarter, a big special teams play for LSU. You remember last week the Tigers had some big special teams efforts in the win over Southern, a block punt for a safety, a fumble recovery on the opening kickoff. Well, this time, the Tiger punt coverage team comes up with a huge play.
Austin Williams for Mississippi State to receive this punt, stands at the Bulldogs 6. Bramblett takes it, takes his time, puts it into the air, high spiraling punt, calling for the fair catch, and losing it at the 10-yard line is Williams. LSU has the football at the 9-yard line. I believe Wes Weeks came up with a loose ball. No, check that. Slade Roy? Was that Slade Roy that came up with it?
Yes, sir.
The long snapper comes up with a loose ball at the 9-yard line.
Boy, D, what a play. Slade Roy, who is the first-year deep snapper for the Tigers, he hustles down the field. Austin Williams of Mississippi State muffs the punt. Roy makes the recovery at the Mississippi State 9-yard line. So we move into the fourth quarter, and the Tigers take advantage of the turnover. Jaden Daniels with a 3-yard TD run to give LSU its first lead of the night.
Got Booty, lone receiver to the left. Jenkins, lone receiver to the right. Motion Booty left to right. Daniels looks that way. Now up the middle, he'll run. Bounces off a defender into the end zone. Touchdown, Fighting Tigers. 3-yard touchdown for Jaden Daniels, his second rushing touchdown of the season. And with 14:11 to go, it's a tie game, 16-all.
The Ramos extra point gives LSU the 17-16 advantage. Then the LSU defense really turns up the heat on Mississippi State. Tiger defense forces a 3-and-out. LSU gets the ball right back. Daniels engineers a 14-play, 85-yard drive. Tigers extend the lead with a TD burst by Josh Williams.
First down, goal to go inside the 8 of Mississippi State. Williams, the handoff, squirts through the line, gets it at the 2, fights his way near the goal line, and it is a Fighting Tiger touchdown! Hey now, Josh Williams, met by a couple of Bulldogs around the 2. He wanted it more, chugging his way to cross the plane. 7-yard touchdown run, and the Tigers extend the lead 23-16.
What a great story. Josh Williams, a former walk-on running back out of Houston, Texas, has worked extremely hard the past few years and earned a scholarship and now has earned significant playing time. He gets a big TD there. The Tigers lead 24-16 with 6:53 left in the game. Again, Mississippi State possession. Again, Mississippi State 3-and-out and a punt as the Tiger defense dominates. LSU gets the ball right back, moves quickly down the field in just 4 plays. The Tigers roll 59 yards, and the big play for the touchdown, 47-yard dash up the middle by Armani Goodwin.
Armani Goodwin back in there at running back with Daniels. 1st and 10. Daniels now will motion Booty. Get the snap. Hand it off Goodwin. Little hole left side. Goodwin breaks free at the 35. Down the middle of the field. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Fighting Tigers. Armani Goodwin. Third rushing touchdown of the year. 47-yard strike on the ground. And the Tigers make it 30-16.
31-16 after the PAT by Ramos. Mississippi State still with a little bit of life. There was 4:50 left in the game when Goodwin scored that touchdown, but the Bulldogs able to move down the field into LSU territory, but the game is sealed by an interception from Tiger defensive back Jay Ward.
3:16, clock moving, fourth quarter. Rogers looking, going for the long ball, intercepted at the 7-yard line. Coming the other way with it is Jay Ward. He's had that kind of night. Ward back to the 25-yard line of the Tigers. Picks off Will Rogers, his third interception offered up of the year.
Wow, what a night for Jay Ward, as Chris Blair said. He had 11 total tackles, 1.5 tackles for 3 yards and losses. He had one pass broken up, and he had that interception to cap off LSU's 31-16 win. Congratulations to Jay Ward and the entire Tiger defense for an outstanding effort. And Jaden Daniels, as we said, extremely efficient throwing the football. He threw for 210 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. He also rushed for 93 and scored that rushing touchdown. So the Tiger offense and the Tiger defense and special teams all contributing in a huge way to the LSU win. All right, stay with us when we come back. Jeff Palermo will have a visit with Mike Denbrock. That's coming up after this timeout on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Continuing our conversation with the newsmakers from LSU Athletics, this is LSU 60 on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Fans, a quick reminder, when the Tigers win, you win. You can enter promo code LSU50 the day after an LSU football win and receive 50% off your online order at papajohns.com. So you can do that right now as LSU with a victory last night over Mississippi State. Remember, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. All right, time now to head out to the LSU football complex. Jeff Palermo is with LSU offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock.
Thanks, Bill. Coach Denbrock, great come-from-behind win yesterday. Seems like the up-tempo offense is really working with this team. So how do you balance that with, just trying to run, I guess, if you would, a regular offense? How do you kind of move going forward, since it seems like this team is having a lot of success? Even quarterback Jaden Daniels seems like he likes playing as fast as he can possibly play.
Yeah, he seems to settle into the game and be a lot more comfortable when we're using tempo. So it's got to become a little bit bigger piece of what we're doing, of course. And everybody seems to kind of not think so much and just start playing. And that's been a little bit of our issue here early in the season with consistency, is we're overthinking things a little bit too much. We've got to just kind of cut it loose. And I think the tempo allows them to do that a little bit.
Jaden Daniels rushed for 93 yards in that game. He also led you in rushing in the Florida State game. Is that sustainable, or is that's what we need for us to win?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think part of Jaden's strength is his ability to make plays with his feet, and we certainly don't want to lose that. But we don't want to get him beat up either. So we're going to have to definitely generate more run game from the running backs and some talented wide receivers here and there as well. But Jaden is Jaden, and he likes to get out in the pocket and make plays with his feet. And that'll be a piece of it, but we got to keep him protected as well.
It was great to see John Emery back out on the field. How do you look at this running back room now that it's you got everybody there, everyone's available, and how do you see it improving as the season goes along?
It was great to get John back. He's done a lot of work to get himself back in a position where he can contribute to this team, and I was proud of his effort on Saturday. I thought he got better as the game went along. But there's some other talented guys in that room as well. And it's going to be a little bit of running back by committee until I think John really kind of settles in. First game back in a long time. And you could see a little bit, especially early in the game, he was a little bit hesitant. But there's some talented kids there. We got to do a little bit better job, more consistent job up front. And if we do that, I think we'll get those guys going.
Talking with LSU offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock, let's go back to that 14-play drive on Saturday that put you up by 8. Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers connected 4 times during that drive. What's your thoughts as you look back at that drive and why, I guess, Jaden and Malik really got on the same wavelength there?
Yeah, I mean, we were a little bit more of a spread set in most of those situations, and they were bringing a lot of pressure trying to get the ball back late in the game, and Jaden did a really nice job of adjusting protections and getting himself protected and then finding a mismatch. And we thought that, Malik Nabers against just about anybody is a pretty good deal for us. So he took advantage of that, and we love to see it. A lot of what we do runs through the quarterback, and we kind of give him a little bit of freedom where that's concerned. As he continues to grow, he'll get more and more.
I know you would like to get Kayshon Boutte more involved. He didn't participate in spring football. I mean, how much of that is just still trying to develop this chemistry between Jaden and Kayshon for that connection to really take off here?
I think that's a piece of it for sure. I think they're getting to know each other a little bit better. Kayshon is a huge piece for us, I think, to take the next step offensively to really be as explosive as we want to be. His skill set, he's got to get the ball a little bit more. He's got to be touching the ball. So whether that's generating it in the run game, whether it's screens, whatever it happens to be, we've definitely got to get him touching the football.
But there are a lot of wide receivers here. I know you want to get involved. Even going all the way down to a guy like Chris Hilton, how difficult is it when you have all these talented wide receivers to try to make sure they stay part of the game plan?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge for sure. I think the best thing that it does is create unbelievable competition in that room for touches. And hopefully iron sharpens iron, and those guys make each other better and continue to progress and are a big part of what we're doing moving forward.
Have you ever called a game before where your two tackles were freshmen, true freshmen?
I have not. And early in the game, that was a little bit of a challenge. We were probably a little bit too conservative with those guys because I really didn't know exactly how they were going to play, and so we did a lot of chipping, and we did some max protection things to try to help them, and didn't get as many guys out early into the routes, but I thought they settled in. I thought they're both doing an outstanding job, and it's comforting to know that those guys are going to be around here for a little while.
3 different games, 3 different offensive lines. Again, that's got to be a challenge as well. When do you think you can settle in on something? Or is it, it's just hard to say. It's kind of evolving, isn't it?
It really is. And it's a group that I think's made a lot of progress. But we've struggled with consistency. We've struggled with consistency, with pre-snap penalties. We've got to clean that up for sure. But I think there's some combinations there, maybe a little bit of tweaking that needs to be done. But I think now that, Emery is kind of settled in at right tackle, I think that'll solidify some of the inside guys as well, so we'll get a little bit more consistent there.
Yeah, those procedure penalties, especially early in the game, is that a lot on the center, or is that just a combination of things?
Well, we were trying to get into some ideal plays versus some of the looks that they had, and maybe a little bit too much of that early in the game, and that's something that I've got to be mindful of. And and not have those guys standing over the ball for so long. So we'll work on that. And I think, you know, again, with the tempo, they don't think as much. They're not sitting in their stance so long. I think it helps a young group just go out there and play football. So I think it all fits together.
It seems like this team, though, has improved a lot from week one to week three. What are you most encouraged about?
Well, just that, you know, when we settle in to the game and we do things the way we're capable of doing, we're hard to deal with. We've got weapons all over the place. We can run the football. We can throw the football. We can be dynamic offensively and explosive. So that's very encouraging. Now we've got to continue to gain consistency in how we do it and what we do. And if we do that, I think it's going to be something that's exciting to watch and be a part of.
You got one more non-conference game before you hit a slate of SEC games. So this is a big one just because you got to continue to sharpen up here because the schedule is only going to get tougher from here.
Definitely got to get this one at home, and obviously protecting Tiger Stadium is a huge priority for us. And you know, the kids take a lot of pride in it. And but this, you're right. You know, what lies ahead is pretty challenging. In this week, with what New Mexico does defensively, I mean they're a little like the team we just played. They're a little all over the place. So we're going to have to be on top of our business.
Coach, thanks a lot for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, that's LSU offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock. More of LSU 60 coming up here on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
A recap of the past week and a look ahead every Sunday night. This is LSU 60 on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to the LSU Sports Radio Network Capital One Studio. We are located next door to Tiger Stadium. This is LSU 60, and a reminder that Hollingsworth Richards Ford proudly supports the LSU Tigers. Visit us in Baton Rouge on Florida Boulevard, or on our website, hollingsworthrichardsford.com. Now it's a pleasure to be joined by the head coach of the LSU women's golf team, Coach Garrett Runyon. And you know, at LSU Athletics, excellence is always something that is strived for, and excellence certainly epitomizes the LSU women's golf program. These past 5 years under Coach Runyon have been phenomenal. Back in 2021, the Tigers finished in the top 10 in the nation. Last year, LSU won its first SEC championship in 30 years. And this year, Coach Runyon's fifth as the head coach of the Tigers. LSU off to a great start earlier this week. The Tigers won their first tournament of the season in their season opener in New Orleans with a victory over Nebraska and Tulane and several other schools at the Green Wave Classic. Coach Garrett Runyon, thanks for joining us tonight. How's everything going?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. And as I said, it's been a phenomenal run for you guys, especially in your most recent tournaments. The win you guys had earlier this week in the Green Wave Classic was LSU's third tournament win in your last five outings. That to me, is a phenomenal mark. Just talk about how you guys have enjoyed so much success and how you're able to play at such a high level dating back to the end of last season.
Yeah, we got off to a great start this year, winning the first event at Tulane's event, and it was nice to see that momentum carry over from last year, as you said, winning three of our last five. You know, each team is a little bit different, and I'd like to think this team is a little bit better than last year. I mean, as a coach, you're always trying to be a little bit better than the year before, whether you kind of have the same nucleus of players or you're adding to it. And our ladies have worked hard. They've been close at the national championship. They were motivated by winning the SEC championship, and they just keep working harder and harder to try and win that last tournament of the year.
Absolutely. Well, I know expectations are very high for this team, a very deep and talented team, ranked number five in the country, and off to a great start with that win earlier this week in New Orleans. Coach, after the win on Tuesday, you commented that the final five is something that you guys really stress in trying to win tournaments. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on what that means, the final five.
Yeah, so each year we come up with a couple goals, you know, and really one of them was to play the par fives in the final fives. We really wanted to focus on that. And it kind of dated back where a few years ago we won a couple tournaments, but we also finished second about three or four times. And we always it always comes down to one. And, you know, 2 years ago we missed the match play portion of the national championship by one shot. You hit some 1,100 shots as a team, and it's crazy how it always comes down to one. And I kind of stole it from Will Wade, and how he did is he always focused on the last six minutes.
That's
and
right.
Kind of, it was just like a little extra deal there. So I kind of stole that from him a little bit, and I was like, we want to do the final five. So each day at practice, you know, we read out our scores when we play, and then we read out how we played the final five. And so it's an area we focus on. We really want to run through the finish line, if you will, and it really paid off this past week in Tulane as Nebraska made a bunch of birdies early on, and we never led the final round until the final five, where we played them 7 under, and wow. Nebraska played it 2 over. So that really flipped it for us, and it, as a coach, when kind of what you're preaching pays off, it's always nice.
Absolutely, Coach. I mentioned earlier this is a very deep team. You had 8 players at the event at Tulane. 5 played in the team portion, and you had 3 more playing individually. Those young ladies were all exceptional. I believe this is correct. You did not have one single round above 75 from any of your players, and that's a pretty strong statement.
It's a very strong statement. It proves that anybody on our team can make the winning putt for us mm-hmm. to win any tournament. I'm confident in taking anybody, and it's made competition at practice a lot better, and everybody's getting stronger and better. Yeah, we were fortunate enough. You know, it's always nice to play in the state of Louisiana, to go down to New Orleans, and Tulane was nice enough to let us take a couple extra individuals mm-hmm. and get to, you know, some young players, got to get some starts, and it was, you know, you said we had all our scores under 75. That was awesome. And as a team, we the final round, we threw out an under par round. So we play 5, and you count the 4 lowest scores. Mm-hmm. And to throw out a 71, 1 under par was pretty strong as well. That's something we're proud of as well.
And by the way, historically, that was victory number 49 for the LSU women's golf program. And I know your players have a sense of history. They've talked to you about, we want to get number 50 as soon as possible. So just your thoughts about what it means to the program to get victory number 50, hopefully very soon.
Yeah, that kind of dates back to last year. We won Clemson's tournament. It was our final event, regular season event last year, and they said it was the 47th win in program history. And actually, one of our freshmen, Elsa Stinson, said, wouldn't it be cool if we just ran the table and won SECs, regionals, and nationals,
yeah.
and nationals would have been the 50th win.
Right.
And, you know, that was obviously astronomical goals or whatever, but then we won the SEC championship for the 48. So we're like, okay. And so they kind of started believing, and then came up a little bit short at nationals, but finished second at regionals, which part of regionals is just making it to the national championship.
Right.
So they've been talking about it for a little bit, and they know they're one step closer to the magic 5-0 number.
Absolutely. Of course, the Tigers are back in action this weekend. LSU will be traveling out to the Nashville area, playing in Franklin, Tennessee, at a tournament hosted by Vanderbilt. Well, Coach, let's talk, before we take our first break, let's talk about some of these phenomenal players that you have. Of course, I think most people are familiar with Ingrid Lindblad, and one of the best players in the world, not only collegiately, but also just globally as well. Just talk about Ingrid back for her senior year and what she's meant to your program.
Yeah, she's currently number 2 player in the world. She's been ranked number 2 in the world amateur golf rankings for a long time. Now, I think people are kind of getting sick of me saying she's my Joe Burrow because she really is. She's won 9 times, which is the LSU record. Individual wins. She has a 70.49 career scoring average.
Wow.
Nearly 70% of her rounds, 59 of 86 rounds she's played, have been par or better. It's just she's our Joe Burrow, putting up crazy numbers every week, and certainly has a big reason to do with where we are today as a program.
And then she's complimented by several other great players, and Latana Stone, also a senior. She's a native of Riverview, Florida. What a summer she had, Garrett. Perhaps you can explain to us more about the Palmer Cup and the Curtis Cup, 2 events that Latana Stone played in this summer, and what those mean and how that helped her develop as a player.
Yeah, Latana, if Ingrid is Joe Burrow, Latana is Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
she's currently ranked 41st in the world. And she had a great summer playing the Curtis Cup, which there's only 8 American female golfers that make the Curtis Cup team, and she was one of them. And so she went up and played at Marion and played very well, got a bunch of points, and was on the victorious USA team for the Curtis Cup. So, and then she went overseas and to France and played in the Palmer Cup, which is essentially the college version of the Ryder Cup. And that's her, I believe that's her second Palmer Cup she's played in, or third, excuse me.
Wow.
And she's, you know, she keeps on, I keep getting calls from the coaches of the Palmer Cup saying she's reliable. She hits her iron so good. She's such a good teammate. And that's exactly what we see back home. And so she's certainly been working really hard and finished solo second in her first tournament of the year. And she's really been working hard to get going. And then I guess our third player would be Carla Tejedo.
Yeah.
So we got Joe, we got Jamar, and then Carla is our Clyde Edwards. She's our little Spaniard. And, you know, she's currently ranked 65th in the country, or in the world, excuse me. And she's our emotion. She's our little hot sauce on the team. She is a killer in match play. We've put her out first in every match play event we've played, and she's come back with a point. She's fiery. She's got a great short game, and she certainly keeps everybody light and loose on the team.
Talking with LSU women's golf coach Garrett Runyon, the Tigers ranked number 5 in the nation. Got the season off to a great start earlier this week with a win in the Green Wave Classic at New Orleans, LSU's third tournament win in its past 5 starts dating back to last year. So we'll go ahead and take a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk more about LSU women's golf and what's coming up for this very talented team. So stay with us. We're back after this timeout on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
From inside the Capital One studios on the campus of LSU, this is LSU 60 on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Hey, Tiger fans, PelPrint.com is Louisiana's online print shop. Printing or promo items produced right here in Louisiana. Reach us at support@PelPrint.com. Welcome back to LSU 60. We continue our conversation with Coach Garrett Runyon of the women's golf team, the Tigers, as I said earlier, number 5 in the country, fresh off a seasoning opening win this past week in New Orleans. LSU has some of the top players not only in the country but also the world. And Coach, we talked about some of your veteran players, but you've also got some youngsters who made a pretty strong debut last weekend. One is a young lady by the name of Taylor Riley. Now, Taylor is the daughter of Michelle Louvier Riley, who, in her own right, was a great player here at LSU back in the mid-90s. I'm going to show my age here because I definitely remember when Michelle Louvier was playing for the Tigers, and she had a great career. Now her daughter, Taylor, is with you guys, and, man, she shot the lights out this past week in New Orleans, 10 under par.
Yeah, that was awesome to see as a true freshman in her very first college event. She made 4 bogeys over 3 days, and she told me, she goes, one of them, only 1 bogey in the last 2 rounds. She said she missed a 3-footer. And that 10 under was pretty amazing. She definitely has a pedigree with her mom. And her dad is Chris Riley, who some people may know, played on tour. And actually, Tiger Woods' partner in the 2004 Ryder Cup.
Wow.
So not too many people can say their daddy was partners with Tiger Woods in a Ryder Cup. So she certainly is used to it. She certainly knows what good golf is looks like, and she's got a great personality. She's tough mentally, and she just wants to compete and play well. So it's been a real joy to have her on the team.
Of course, as you said earlier, you like the blend of the older players and the younger players. You've got several others who are going to make big contributions this year. Who right now is standing out in your lineup?
Yeah, so, you know, Ingrid, Latana, and Carla have kind of been the three amigas that have taken over the last 2 years. And then you've got Elsa Svensson, who's returning for her sophomore year. She had a really good freshman campaign, had a good summer. And then Taylor Riley, who we just spoke about, is a true freshman. And then we've got Anya Donegan, who is a transfer. She's from Ireland but transferred in from Indiana. She was second team Big Ten, all Big Ten player there, and as a freshman there. So she's on the younger side, but has a little bit of college experience, just not wearing purple and gold. And a couple holes in, she I watched her on the first hole, and she made par, and she goes, "My first par is a Tiger." And then a few holes later, she made her first birdie, and she's like, "My first birdie is a Tiger." So she's very happy to be here, and she played very well in Tulane as well. Shot one of the lower rounds of the tournament for us, a 67, and finished tied for third as well. So she's a strong player with a lot of international experience, and one I would expect to be in the lineup a lot this year.
Coach, in thinking about what your players have to how do they prepare themselves for a tournament? What are some of the things that you guys stress both physically and mentally in preparing for a tournament? For instance, the one coming up this weekend at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you know, we work out 3 days a week. The Tulane tournament, we played 36 holes walking the first day, and then 18 holes the second day. So there's a lot of conditioning and having your mind and body right. And then course by course, we kind of will favor, you know, Vanderbilt has a little bit of different grass that we don't get to play on too much, but we know that scores typically are a little bit lower there. So we will do a lot of wedge work, a lot of putting inside 10 feet, lag putts, knowing that we got to make a lot of birdies, have a lot of offense there. Our next tournament is the Jackson T. Stevens Cup down at Seminole in Juneau Beach, Florida. Mm-hmm. And that course is all around the greens. Off the tee, it's not too fancy or not too crazy, but around the greens is where all the magic and the difficulty is. So we'll do a lot of focus on short game before then, but a lot of it is focused on their stats. You know, we keep a lot of stats, and each one is different, and what they need to focus on and try and get that low hanging fruit and just slowly chip away at their scoring average. Someone like Ingrid, who averaged 70.38 last year. It gets harder and harder to do my job and find ways to get her a little bit better. But a lot of it is stat-driven, and it's the numbers don't lie. So they all practices are set up that way to focus on the final five in a certain area of those stats.
You know, Coach, it occurred to me a big difference between professional golf and collegiate golf is that in collegiate golf, there are no caddies. I mean, your players are basically on their own. They're responsible not only for the transport of their clubs, but also for the way they line up shots. Just how difficult is that for both mentally and physically for a player to have that much responsibility without a caddy?
For them, they're used to it a little bit more because they play summer golf and junior golf without caddies. So, you know, some of them carry their clubs. Some of them use a push cart. Mm-hmm. And some of them are really good about writing notes in the yardage book and course management, and some of them I'd like them to be a little bit better. And that's what the practice rounds are for. We'll go through the practice round and kind of a lot of the courses we've seen before. Some of them we haven't. Tulane, nobody had ever seen Bayou Oaks down there, believe it or not, just an hour away. So it was wasn't too difficult off the tee, and We every night in the hotel room, we go over the yardage book. Okay, they're going to put the pin back left, where we want to miss it, where's an easier up and down, is this a par five to go for it, is this one a three-shot hole. So we just kind of strategize that way. But as far as that, they're used to not having a caddy. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, some of them it's easier not. More of it's the weather. I mean, it was hot down in New Orleans as it was on Saturday during the football game. This week we've had nice weather, and you know, Vanderbilt will be a little bit cooler in the morning, but it's supposed to warm up as well in the afternoon. So they're used to it, and it's just part of the deal. Outdoor sport.
Absolutely. Coach Garrett Runyon, congratulations on the season opening win. Looking forward to some great things this year from LSU Women's Golf. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
All right, Coach Garrett Runyon with us as the Tigers getting set to travel over to Nashville for a tournament this weekend, hosted by Vanderbilt. All right, back after this here on LSU 60 on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
With the latest news and newsmakers from LSU Athletics, this is LSU 60 on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
All right, fans, LSU, New Mexico this weekend. Tiger Stadium kickoff is at 6:30, and we invite you to come experience the best pregame activities at the TJ Ribs Tiger One Village. It's located right in front of the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. You can listen to live bands beginning at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. And, of course, the LSU Game Day pregame show here on the network. It's presented by Three Olives Vodka. You can listen to it live in front of the PMAC starting at 4:30. And again, kickoff is at 6:30, LSU versus New Mexico. First ever meeting in football between the Tigers and the Lobos right here in Tiger Stadium. Quick look at yesterday's action around the SEC. Kentucky, ranked number 9 in the nation. Wildcats with a 31-0 victory over Youngstown State. Kentucky 3-0 on the year. Of course, they opened SEC play last weekend with a win over Florida. Now Kentucky's actually moved up to number 8 with that win yesterday. Kentucky number 8 now in the Associated Press poll. Missouri got a victory yesterday. Missouri had a tough outing last weekend, losing in a big way. But the Missouri Tigers bounced back, improved to 2-1 on the year with a 34-17 win over Abilene Christian. Missouri got blitzed last week by Kansas State in a battle of former Big 12 members. But Missouri comes back. Abilene Christian falls to Missouri by a final score of 34-17. Georgia, number 1 in the nation. Dominating effort in Columbia, South Carolina yesterday. Georgia defeats South Carolina 48-7. Another huge day for Stetson Bennett throwing the football. 284 yards passing as Georgia rolls 48-7 over South Carolina. Auburn suffered a 41-12 loss to Penn State. It was the first time a Big Ten team had ever played in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and Penn State made it a less than memorable experience for Auburn as the Nittany Lions roll 41-12 over the Auburn Tigers. Ole Miss now 3-0 on the year. Rebels defeat Georgia Tech in Atlanta yesterday 42-0. Ole Miss moves up to number 16 in the country with that victory. Vanderbilt improves to 3-1 on the year. Commodores have not yet played an SEC game, but they did win 3 of their 4 non-conference games, including yesterday. Vanderbilt goes to Northern Illinois, and the Commodores post a 38-28 win over NIU. The Commodores under Coach Clark Lee now 3-1 on this season. Alabama ranked number 2 in the nation, right behind Georgia. Crimson Tide with another non-conference win, this time 63-7 over UL Monroe. Bryce Young threw for 236 yards in that Bama win. Arkansas had a real scare yesterday in Fayetteville. A Missouri State came into Fayetteville under Coach Bobby Petrino. Of course, Bobby Petrino coached at Arkansas and enjoyed great success for the Razorbacks back in the 2010s. Petrino returned as the head coach of Missouri State. Missouri State led for much of this game, but Arkansas able to post a 38-27 victory as they got a great effort from quarterback K.J. Jefferson. Jefferson threw for 385 yards as Arkansas remains undefeated, and they are ranked number 10 in the country by the AP. Tennessee with a big victory over Akron. Final score, Tennessee 63, Akron 6. The Vols are now 3-0, and Tennessee also ranked among the top teams in the country. Tennessee now number 11 in the nation. We'll see the Volunteers here in Tiger Stadium in just a few weeks. Florida with a squeaker. The Gators get by South Florida. South Florida had a chance to tie the game on a 49-yard field goal, but a mishandled snap prevented the field goal from being good. The Gators hold on 31-28 over USF. Florida now 2-1 on the year. Of course, the Gators did lose their SEC opener last weekend at home to Kentucky. And finally, Texas A&M. Aggies ranked number 23 in the nation right now after defeating Miami last night 17-9 in College Station. The Aggies with a strong defensive effort. Notably, former LSU quarterback Max Johnson got his first start at Texas A&M. Max Johnson threw for 140 yards, but the defense for A&M really was the story as the Aggies get a 17-9 victory over the Miami Hurricanes. All right, quick look at the schedule. It will be highlighted, of course, by LSU playing host to New Mexico at 6:30 on Saturday here in Tiger Stadium. Other games on the docket, Kent State at Georgia. Missouri will be at Auburn. Bowling Green at Mississippi State. Florida at Tennessee. That's the 2:30 CBS game on Saturday. Tulsa will play at Ole Miss. Northern Illinois at Kentucky. Arkansas will face Texas A&M, that annual game in Arlington, Texas. Vanderbilt will be at Alabama, and South Carolina will play host to Charlotte. All right, stay with us. We're back to wrap up the show after this on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Wrapping up this week's LSU 60. For one final time, here's Bill Frankes.
All right, just enough time to thank you once again for joining us here on LSU 60. Don't forget the Coach Brian Kelly press conference tomorrow here on the network, 11:40 a.m. Chris Blair and Gordy Rush will preview the New Mexico game, look back at the Mississippi State game. Then at noon, Coach Kelly's press conference with the media here in Baton Rouge. So don't miss it. Also, Coach Kelly's radio show Thursday night at 7, live from TJ Ribs, and the LSU Game Day pregame show on Saturday at 4:30. Again, kickoff with New Mexico Saturday night at 6:30 right here in Tiger Stadium. So for producer Jeff Palermo, this is Bill Frankes saying thank you. Good night from the LSU Sports Radio Network Capital One studio. We're right next door to Tiger Stadium here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This has been an exclusive presentation of the LSU Sports Radio Network.
This has been LSU 60 with the latest on LSU athletics. LSU 60 is a production of the LSU Sports Radio Network. The LSU Sports Radio Network, a division of LSU SP and Playfly Sports.